We started last week. I'm so glad that the children are in here with us today. And she didn't even know it. But I've got an example today. I've got a couple of things that I'm going to show you. And I really believe a couple weeks ago the Lord took me back to what I told you last week changed me. It really changed me. It helped me understand that there is a Christian walk and a Christian life, and the Christian life must be walked out. And something happened to me when I got saved. I mean, how many of you believe that something happened to you when you got saved? And we talked about that last week. But I was in youth ministry for 7 years. So I've got a couple of things that I'm going to use as object lessons this morning. And I felt like I know that some of this material years ago, I spent a great deal of time on this. But if it changed me and it changed you and someone else is coming, maybe it'll help them too. And if our youth and children can get this picture in their mind at an early age that I can live for God, that I can live for God, that my living for God is not confined to a couple of hours on Sunday morning when my mom and dad make me go to church, that I can do this thing 24/7, even if mom and dad don't come to church. I can do it. So with that, I'm going to give you just a little bit of taking it back to last week, just to recap. You remember we talked about the spirit, the mind, and the flesh, but we talked about everything that we do comes from a nature. It comes from our and our nature produces desires, and our desires produce our conduct. And you remember we talked about how we would love to change our conduct, but you can't just change your conduct and that stick. Something deeper has to happen because your conduct comes from someplace. It was inside of you. It came from, you didn't just do that haphazardly. You had a desire to do that. And you didn't just have a desire to do that because that desire was birthed from someplace. And it was birthed, your desire that produced your conduct. The desire came, the conduct came from the desire, but the desire was birthed out of your nature. And according to Romans 8, what we studied last week, we've all got a nature. And we've all got two categories of nature. We've got a spiritual nature and a fleshly nature. Oh, yes, you do. You've got both of them. So let's just get that square that we're not so holy, even though we come to church, we're not so holy that we glow at the dark in the dark. And we don't even pray over our meals. Angels come down and pray for us. And we have wings over our head that whenever we're not that. We're not crazy. We're not into something new and something weird. I can't stand it when church gets weird. I want it to be out of what the Bible said. And the Bible says this. It says, if you live by the Spirit and your spiritual nature, then it will cause spiritual desires, and those spiritual desires will actually result in spiritual conduct. How you live, how you walk, how you do this thing. But that same nature can go fleshly. And you've got to be, and he gives us tools that we're going to talk about today so that my fleshly nature will produce, because my fleshly nature produces fleshly desires, then I have fleshly conduct. That's just the way it works. It works either way. It's the same way. You can just have a better source. Way better source. So then we talked about the spirit and the mind and the flesh, and so these two right here, these are the determining. It is so hard to do this sometimes. Not, I could write it. Here's the determining factors. Here's how my conduct ends up. The determining factors are right here. Spirit or flesh. And they'll flow down. Either one of them. Okay? And, but these things right here, these are constantly in play. Constantly at play. Your nature and your desire, you don't stop any of that. It's always, so it becomes choices. My spiritual nature will cause me to have spiritual desires. My spiritual desires will produce spiritual conduct. And my fleshly nature will cause fleshly desires, and out of that will become fleshly conduct. And we talked about that last week out of Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8, when Paul said this. He said, and I told you, Paul's the guy that was so bad at one time in his life when he was Saul, and God changed his name and actually used that guy, Paul, who would have come in and busted up this meeting that's talking about Jesus Christ and probably would have had me killed for preaching about him. You know, he was that bad of a guy, and God turned Saul's life around, changed his name to Paul, and Paul he used to write most of the New Testament or half the New Testament. So don't tell me that God can't use you. Amen? So thank you, Billy. Anybody else? Because I take that as an amen. Two things can happen. If you don't amen me, I'll preach my way out of it. So we'll be here much longer. Yeah, y'all all of a sudden become Baptist-costal on me. Made me even lose my thought. So this is always going on, and it's determined right here. All of these things are happening. I know Paul said this. He said, the things that... Now, Paul, the one who wrote most of the New Testament, or at least half of it, this is the guy who's saying this. The things I want to do, I don't do those things. And then he says this. Then he takes it further. The things I don't want to do, why do I do those things? That's what I end up finding myself doing, the things I don't want to do. And he said, who will deliver me from this body of flesh? Flesh, not saved. That was one of the proven scriptures right there. And I started giving you this. When I got saved, I told you something happened to me. My spirit got saved. My mind is being saved. My flesh is not saved. I was better this week, Miss Lisa. I said, I went from ain't saved. I got educated this week. I used to say ain't saved, but my flesh is not saved. And don't get mad and storm out until I give you some scriptures to go with this, but let me just tell you, your flesh isn't saved either. We can dress it up, we can act like it is, but it's not. So if Paul said, I'm struggling with it, you don't have to feel by yourself when sometimes you get a thought that's not something that you want to tell everybody, hey, guess what I thought this week on Sunday morning? Or maybe you even had some conduct off of the fleshly side that you don't want anybody to know, hey, guess what I did this week? See what I'm saying? Why? Because your flesh is not saved. Here, let me just give you real quick some proving scriptures. Spirit got saved. Romans 8, verse 10. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. When I got saved, my spirit got saved. Another verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Okay? So let's go to my mind. My mind is being saved. Look at verses 5 and 6 of chapter 8. Verse 5 and 6 says this. Those who live according to the sinful nature, fleshly nature, have their minds set. And I told you that word set means like when a bone breaks and it's set and it heals back that way. That's the type of set. It's a strong set. So those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature, what? Desires. That's what it says, right? But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. See, the Spirit's got some desires too. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Look at your neighbor and tell him this. You can control it. You can control it. That has to do with taking responsibility. You know what happens as you mature in Christ? This phrase becomes obsolete to you. The devil made me do it. I heard that when I was a kid, Flip Wilson. Anybody remember that? So now y'all know I'm not 21 anymore. Flip Wilson used to do that. And Sammy Davis Jr., the devil made me do it. As you mature in Christ, the truth is most of your mess, you made you do it. You. Look at yourself and say, introducing me. Most of my mess, I got myself into. No devil pitchforks were there stabbing me and forcing me to do. Oh, I don't want to do it. I'm a good Christian, devil. I don't want to do it. No Bible, no shield. You know why that didn't happen? Because it didn't need to happen. Because I've learned about me, I can be bad all by myself. Let me tell you this too. Saved John can be bad all by himself. Saved John can be bad. If I don't get this right, if I am not... Battleground. Right here. Battleground. Right there. Your mind is the battleground. Everything you do starts here. Everything you did started here. When I just did this, my mind thought everything about that action right there. There's a reason when I did this just now that I didn't do. It didn't just haphazardly happen. My mind went there first. That makes a cool sound. See? Your mind goes, sometimes your mind goes there first and you don't even know what's going to happen. It's just. Hang with me, brother. You're going to see the youth pastor side of me in a second. Don't be scared. My mind is being saved. Look at, just take a couple pages, or you can look at the screen, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you'll be able to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's you. Doing an action, producing a result. Be not conformed to this world, because there's a way this world will teach you. I promise you this world will teach you. I was the middle child. Y'all know what the talk is? I didn't get it. Why? Because I was the middle child. And one time, years on down the road, my parents said we were just joking, talking about the talk. So my older two brothers, and then little Johnny, and then Elizabeth and Luke. And Elizabeth and Luke got the talk, and Doug and Matt got the talk. But they thought John got overlapped in there somewhere. I didn't get the talk. But I got the talk. It just wasn't from mom and dad. I got it from school. You'll get the talk. If things make you uncomfortable as parents, pray, resource people that believe in the Word of God, and you give the talk. Because you can do it. If you don't give the talk, somebody else will. That's what I'm saying with that. So the mind has to be renewed. The battleground is the mind. That's why it has to be renewed, because it's always at war. It's always at war right here in my nature, deciding, am I going to go spiritual? Am I going to go flesh? And it can't be because, oh, is Pastor John looking? And it can't be, is my wife looking? And it can't be, is my husband looking? And it can't be, are the children looking? You know, they can hear too. Can they hear? Right? Just saying. So I said, the flesh is not saved. Go back to Romans 8, 6, and 7 this time. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So you got to understand your members, your flesh, your feet, your hands, your fingers, all of it can do the wrong thing if you're not careful. And you can be saved and do the wrong thing. Why? Anything you taught your flesh how to do before you got saved, it remembers. I promise you it does. It's like riding the bike. Your mind, if you teach your mind, if you expose your mind to something that is not spiritual, it will hold on to that experience and it will beg you to try it again. A lot of times, not every time, but there are certain things that you may have a propensity towards. And if it's a sinly, if it's a sin thing, a fleshly thing, your flesh will say, I want to do that again. And you can be right here in praise and worship, worshiping God and everything going right, and you feeling it. And all of a sudden that little whisper say, oh yeah, go ahead and praise him, but I'm coming after you soon. We'll talk this afternoon. You do your church thing right here, but I'll be back to mess with you. Don't worry. Has that ever happened in church? It ever happened to anybody? Yeah. Good, because I'm dealing with human beings, so I know it's happening. Because it says it's happening. So there is a way out for us. And the way out, Brent, will you flip this for me? Wait. Don't flip it. Thanks, Brent. Don't flip that. I need to flip this. All right, 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter, because as I opened up last week. Thanks, Brent. That's it. Tiffany, tell him he's still a good boy. 2 Peter chapter 1. I started with verse 12, and I talked about how Peter was saying this. He says, I'm getting ready to die. But I'm going to tell you things, and I'm going to make it to where you'll always have these things to refer back to, even though you are firmly established in it and you know them. How about that? There's certain scripture that just blows my mind. I know these things. I'm established in these things. Yet he needs to remind me of these things. I don't go to pull up to a red light and just look at it and go, oh, dang it, I always have problems. Green is go, red is caution, yellow is stop. Which one? Christine, which one? Quick. It's about to change. Which one? Red, tell me real quick. Red, green, yellow, tell me which one. How silly is that? Why? That's firmly established, I hope. I really hope. Hope we ain't got some road ragers. We'll have a special prayer line for the road ragers this morning. But you understand what I'm saying. Why would he say that though? You know these things, and you're firmly established in these things. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to remind you of these things. And even when I die, I'm going to fix it to where you'll always be reminded of these things. You know why? Because the enemy doesn't stop, because it's a battle that's not going to end as long as you live inside of this flesh. But the good thing about living inside this flesh is that Christ will live inside of you. And His Holy Spirit will dwell inside of you if you'll let it. And I'm going to show you something in a second that will prove to you you're a lot closer to walking through this life without stumbling than you realize. But you got to take responsibility. Verse 13, 2 Peter chapter 1, he said this. He said, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. As long as I live in the tent of this body. The tent was this temporary tabernacle. Another translation says, as long as I live in the tabernacle of this body. It's a temporary dwelling place. It's where the Holy Spirit wants to live. And it's a temporary thing because the things that happen down here aren't permanent. They're temporary. But He will live inside of you and help you. And He calls it a tent. And when Peter is preaching, he said it's temporary. It's temporary. I live in this tent. Now, how many of you like to camp? Anybody like to camp? You like to get your hands on that? But you're probably thinking, that might be good for like 3 days. And you want a better tent. Let me tell you, in this life, you don't know how long your tent's going to last. It's temporary. It's a temporary tent. You don't know how long the tent's going to last. It's temporary. It's a temporary tabernacle, but it is set up for habitation. Set up for His will is habitation. In other words, He says, I can live there. I can live inside of there. That's why Romans 8:1, the scripture says, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Condemnation means uninhabitable. Can't live there. In your Christian walk, especially early, you'll see people that have been serving the Lord a long time, and you'll be thinking, man, I want to be like them. And then the enemy will mess with you and make you think, oh, okay, they can do it, but I can't. Until you get to the place where you hear messages about Christ living inside of us, and you'll think, yeah, He lives inside of them, but He can't live inside of me. I've been too bad. Therefore has to do with what He did to make this thing possible. No condemnation. There's no sign that says not occupiable. He can live inside of you is what I'm trying to say. Not only can He live inside of you, He wants to. He wants to live inside of you. This tent. So when I said I got saved, my spirit got saved. My mind is being saved. My flesh is not saved. So now I wanted to get to the first part of 2 Peter. And I'm just going to pick it up with verse 1. And I'm going to read down to verse 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Now here comes an offering. Here comes a blessing to you. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge. Say knowledge. The knowledge of God. Say knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Say it. The knowledge. This grace and peace that is yours in abundance, it's not just something he throws on you. It's something that you go through. It's something that you walk out. And this is so key. Through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me reverse engineer this scripture. I'm not changing scripture. I'm just making it where it might help you understand it. Never change it. The knowledge of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ will come abundantly to you. I'm sorry, I messed it up. The grace and peace, an abundant grace and peace of the knowledge. Let me say it so I can understand it. He wants you to have grace and peace, but you'll get it through the knowledge of him. And without the knowledge of him, you won't get the grace and the peace. And it certainly won't be in abundance because it won't even be there. So some of us are wanting grace and peace and wondering where it's at and saying, God, you're God. You can give it to me. But he says, oh, but I gave you a stipulation. I gave you one piece of direction. It was through the knowledge of me. So you're trying to get there without the knowledge of me, and you can't. Can I tell you how important knowledge is? Knowledge is so important. You can buy a vehicle that costs $200,000, and it will drive just like a 1965 Volkswagen. If you can get it started, without the knowledge of how to drive that piece of equipment that is computer driven, without the knowledge, it really will just be a yard ornament for you. You will have all of this possibility at your fingertips, but without the knowledge of how to use it, it'll just be there. So you've got this life that will frustrate you. I mean, I paid $200,000 for this vehicle, and this is all it does? No, it does. Honey, it does so much more, but you got to open up that manual so it'll tell you what it'll do for you. So you're saying that this life, that's all it does? No, honey, you got to open up this manual and learn some things of what it says so that you can have abundance and not just grace and peace, but have these things in abundance. Am I making something up or am I reading what it says? So verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So let's take this one apart. There's nothing that you have done to deserve this, but it is all available to you, again, through the knowledge. What is available to me? Everything I need. Where's the weakness at? His divine power has given this. Is there any weakness in his divine power at all? His divine power has given us everything we need. So here comes a really good question for you. If his divine power has given me everything I need, do y'all believe that scripture? You believe the word of God is true? So he's given me already everything that I need. Answer me this question. Why do we still have so much need? Can we be honest? Does anybody in this room have need? Let me raise my hand first. Anybody in this room got need? But didn't the scripture say his divine power has given us everything we need? Then why do I still have so much need? Well, the answer lies in the scripture that the question came out of. Through our, he's given us everything for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises. What he's saying is that there's this whole life that he wants you to have, and every need can be supplied, but it can only be accessed through the knowledge of him. Opening up that manual and seeing what he has to say. And then it'll be left up to your obedience of the manual, his word. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, through the promises, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You're finding yourself up in a conduct issue that's really a desire issue that's really hasn't been settled because you haven't figured out what your nature's going to do today. And it doesn't change. And you can't change it. And you can't get a power of positive thinking. And it's just, hey, presenting me, the newer improved version of John. It doesn't work like that. Sounds good. It'd make an incredible infomercial. But in 30 minutes, that's over. And you weren't ever really that person anyway. You're just convincing yourself that you are. Why? Because there's a battle going on. And you just got knocked down again with a false finish line. There's no permanent fix, but there is a fix that lasts through everything life can throw at you. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. So I got saved. Let me just take it way back. I birthed into this world as a tent. Here I am. And here you are. But when you get saved, we start addressing this tent. He starts addressing this tent. And I'm not telling you that people that have served the Lord a long time starts getting you over in a corner and saying, now looky here, honey, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to change this and change that and change that. Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit will really help you out with that? He'll really help you out with that. He'll make clear to you things that you need to take out of your life that aren't blessing you and probably aren't blessing anybody else either. Okay? Make every effort to add to your faith. So here comes a list. Man, this is such a powerful thing. Add to your faith goodness. So you got saved, but I want you to, you got saved, let me open up that thing, and you got to get some goodness in there. And to goodness, knowledge. So you're not going to go far when he saves you. And things are everything and everything and everything to where you're going to need some knowledge up here about what to do next. Because Sunday was great, but Monday's coming. Okay? But he's got it fixed. Add to it knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. That's just controlling yourself. And to self-control, perseverance. Do you understand that with him, making a move in him, you don't get to quit making the move. There is a move followed by another move, followed by another move. And I'm in it for the journey, and I'm in it for life. Stop quitting. I have given advice to people that wanted to do this. This was years ago, and we were just starting the church, and I had somebody who wanted to work with the children, and 2 months later they wanted to go work in this area, and 2 months later they wanted to do outreach, and I had to say, no, don't do anything else. Stop quitting. Just do what you're doing for 6 months. Don't say anything else. Just do what you're doing for 6 months. In other words, persevere. So you're good until the candy coat rubs off, and all you got left is that peanut, and you don't want to chew on that peanut, but you eat all the chocolate candy off. Take that peanut and make some Chinese food and add that back in, and you'll be happy you did. Persevere. Stop quitting. I can preach about some food, y'all. I'll have your mouth watering. We get the message on gravy, and it's y'all be shouting, and bobby pins be flying like they were when I was a child. See, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. And that's you realize that love is at the end of the list. And we've made our modern day gospel, oh, just love. Just love. Just love. No. Love, yes. But there's this whole list of things. He's saying, put these things in your tent. Put these things in your tent. Put what? Goodness. Knowledge. You got saved. Now add goodness. Knowledge. Self-control. Get a hold of yourself. Perseverance. Godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities, now if you've got somebody that's got all those qualities, you're going to want him on your team. You're going to want that kind of person on your board, on the one that helps you make decisions. That's the kind of person you want. But then he takes it up another notch. If you have all of these qualities, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. In verse 5, he said, make every effort. Another translation says, give all diligence. Give all diligence. You know what happens when you give all diligence to something? It happens. You've got enough drive in you, every one of you. I know you. You've got enough drive in you. If you'll give all diligence to it, it'll happen. And what is he? This goes right along with the theme of that you're founded, you're established, you have the knowledge of it, and I'm going to keep reminding you of it. Here it goes. Give all diligence. And then he says, be even more eager. Another translation says, and give even more diligence. How do you be diligent and then give more diligent? I think that's because just compounding. Just compounding, just doing it over and over again. To make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, Brent, will you turn that for me? If you, Gold Star Lady, pin him right in the forehead. If you do these things, you will never fall. Another translation says you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you do these things, what things? Well, he just told you. If you add to your faith goodness, and add to your goodness knowledge, and you add to your knowledge self-control, and you add to your self-control perseverance, and you add to perseverance godliness, and you add to godliness brotherly love, and you add to, I'm sorry, brotherly kindness. You add to brotherly kindness, you add love. If you do these things in increasing measure, and you're diligent, and even more diligent, you are a determined individual, you are not going to be falling. That actually means to fall on your face And we know this about him. Even if we fall, according to Psalm, we will not be utterly cast out. But don't you feel when you fall a little cast out? Has anybody ever fallen in the graces of the Lord? Has anybody ever made a mistake? Has anybody ever sinned and you felt really bad about it? That's what it's talking about. It's going to be really hard, and according to Scripture, it's going to be impossible to fall while you're doing these things. It's when you go back to that fleshly mind and think, oh, I don't have to give it that much attention today. And you find yourself, your conduct produce something that, oh, that's right. Oh, it started right here, didn't it? If you do these things of adding, if makes it conditional, this whole result is based on if what? You. Look at your neighbor and say, that's who he's talking about. Go with both sides of that so everybody gets hit. Other side. You. You makes it what? Personal. Who's that put the responsibility on? What does that grow? Maturity. Do. This is an action scripture. Why? Because your life is always moving. Why? Because those nature that produces that desire, that produces that conduct, those things never stop happening. They're just determined by which one you choose. If you do this, then you get that. And if you do this, you get that. And how is it determined? Brent? If you don't get to see it to start with, you'll see it in a minute. No, we better not go up there. Let's go right here. Still won't be able to see it. Okay. You'll catch it. All right, little Brent. That little Brent. Bo, you better get close. We tried this already. Is it turned on the bottom? Oh, see? There it goes. I'm pushing it. Y'all see the red light? Get him to go back up. Well, anyway. Yeah, let's get him. If you've never had to hold him, make Brent jump. I'm not even looking at the car. I'm looking at you. I just wrote remote control Brent. Right there. Y'all hang with me. It's going to make sense. There's a power button in that thing. Stop it. Y'all see the devil at work. Get back up there. I purposefully chose the police car. If you hadn't told, and that's a cool police car. That ain't like what Officer Beard rides around in. I told him I have something special for you today. You'll figure it out. That's a cool little police car. And just so you know, they're changing up to some unmarked cars, and they ain't going to look like what they got now. Because the unmarked car is still like, I know what you are. Oh, they're coming. So you better be obeying these laws. Be not conformed to this world. And I chose the police car because, let me get my badge right. I can't be the police. There's churches that you go to, your pastor would let you know everything you're doing wrong. And if you didn't, and if he didn't, the church mother, she'd let you know everything you'd done wrong. And the older gentleman in the church, they'd let you know because they didn't mind being your police. Let me promise you, I don't have time to be your police. It's not scriptural. It's not right. But guess who does have time to be the police? You do. And according to that scripture, if you do these things, you got to police yourself. You've got adequate opportunity of temptation all through your house. Because we live in this time of life where all you got to do is flip a switch, touch a button. You can even do it by accident. And because your flesh knows how to misbehave because it's not saved, all of a sudden you'll find yourself into something that you didn't even mean to go to. How did that happen? Well, because your flesh is not saved. It still knows how to do everything you taught it or heard about. Eye gates, ear gates. And before you think, me, just trying to do the best I can at policing my own life. May you've been looking at a conformed life where someone will tell you what you're doing wrong. Oh yeah. And I just feel better because I told someone, and I feel better because I got it out, and I'll try again. Gee whiz, I'll try again. And then you gotta come back and somebody helps you. And that's good. But at some point, maturity takes place. And I don't want to have to always be going back and checking with the police when I can be one myself. And I won't just be a conformed little deal. I'll be transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's power in that. And I'm not lying to you. I'm not acting like it's a little bit of power. It's His power. And your ability to access everything you need is already in existence. Jesus didn't say, oh, Pastor John's going to preach this today. Hold on, get out of the way. I got to run, get back up on the cross and handle that one more time. He hung on the cross and He said, it is finished. That meant it's done. All this is already here for you. You just have to access it. How? Through the knowledge of Him. Through the transformed mind. You're not just a compliant little average mind, just only able to do everything that everybody else thinks is okay. And if I get out of line, certainly someone will help me with that. No. A transformed mind will pull you up in leadership. It'll pull you up where you can lead yourself. And dads and moms, look around you. It's children, grandparents, aunts, uncles. Aren't they worth it? Aren't they worth it? Christine, will you come? Ryan. Never stumble means this. You don't have to fall into misery or being a wretch, being distressed, being miserable of the loss of salvation. I just gave you the complete Greek definition of what that meant. Why do you think it makes sense that Paul said this? He said, what I wish I did, I don't do. What I do is what I wish I didn't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, stumbling man that I, this is Paul. Oh, falling man that I am. Who will deliver my flesh from this body of death? That's what the scripture says. And then it says this, thanks be unto God. It's all right there. There will never be a place that you go that He can't scoop you up from. There will never be a place when He looks at your tent and He crushes it back down. I knew I wasted my time on you. I knew I wasn't going to be able to live inside of you. No condemnation. No condemnation. Renewed mind. It's right there. This is not a hard thing. This is a I will trust you, God, thing with my mind. Some of you simply need to put a better value on yourself. I need to hold a higher value on me. If you need an example, if Paul could do that and God could use him that way, well, certainly he could use me out of my mess to do something. To do something. Amen. That beautiful bathroom that you can, ladies are going to enjoy. I joked with a few ladies that looked at it this week. I said, all right, I know the question's going to come. When are y'all going to put up the flat screen next? And I'm gonna, at some point, I'm going to have to tell the safety team, get them out of here. And they got to let me preach to them for 5 minutes anyway. But even that has peeled the floor back. Nasty. Y'all got new toilets, but you know what that means? Somebody took the old toilets away. Nasty. Oh, yes. Really nasty. But what's there now? Nice. A blessing. You deserve it. Could we have got by? Yeah. We do a lot with missions. We do a lot. I thought our bathroom for our ladies needs to look better than a horse stable. And some of y'all that used it, giddy up. God bless you. I know this. You're patient. You're patient people. What I'm saying is that what is ugly can go past functional to actually being beautiful. But you got to put a value on it somewhere. Somebody's got to put a value on it somewhere. Somebody's got to put a value on you somewhere. And guess what? He's already put a value on you. Can you just raise your hand and say, thank you, God. You put a value on me I didn't even realize. You see something in me, all I saw was the ugly, but you saw the clean, you saw the beautiful, you saw what it could be, and I want to thank you for it, God. And I'm asking you right now to take this mind and every temptation to be conformed, drive it out of me so that my mind can be transformed, so that I can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you just say, thank you, Lord? Doesn't that feel better? I mean, I feel better already. He's able to, that mind. You can change your mind 5 times. Y'all can leave here today and ask your wife, where do you want to eat? I'm thinking about a burger. Well, you know what, honey? Can we? You know, I think I just want a salad. You get it going that way. You know what? I think I really want some wonton soup. You change your mind like that. It's not going to be hard if you will do what he said. Self-control. Control yourself. Let that mind be transformed so that you can prove his will.
As you were reading that scripture in Romans, it says that the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. And I just got a picture in my mind of families that maybe there's strife in your home. We always think the flesh as sexual immorality, don't we? But the flesh is so much more than that. It's our temper. It's our jealousy. It's our anger. It's our stress and anxiety that God says, that's not of me. That is your flesh. So we're talking about all flesh, all manifestations of flesh. Anything that has the potential to take you away from the cross, to take you away from the face of Jesus, anything. So when it talks about there being life and peace, if there is a spirit of heaviness in your home, if there is strife and disruption, look for works of the flesh. What is being manifest in your home, in yourselves, in your family that is causing this manifestation of the flesh in the life and the peace? Proclaim it over your home. Start asking God to show you what those things are. And guess what he does? He circumcises them. Because we all know what circumcision is. It's a cutting away of unnecessary flesh. Ask God, what unnecessary things are in our home of the flesh? And let's see life and peace come to our homes. Amen. Amen.
I was just saying that she's living proof that y'all could be out of here in 5 minutes. I just want to get notes out and take notes away. That's so good. But it's truth. It is truth. And where does it lie? On us. He's already given us everything we need. If you do these things that he's given you, that covers everything you need. It makes sense, doesn't it? I'm not going to stop preaching long, though. Father, thank you for your word. It's not just incredible. It's not just incredible in and of itself. It's also even more incredible that it's for us. So let your incredible word that is for us be alive inside of us. Transform us. Not by some magic sprinkling of fairy dust. We take part in it. God, according to what your word says, we can actually take part in our destinies. And that is powerful. We get to places in life, we excel, we reach heights by how much we apply ourselves and what we absorb and what we resource into our lives. But what if we gained the whole world and lost our own soul? When availability to have everything we need was just right there. God, help us to not just grasp this concept, but apply this to our lives. In Jesus' name. Can you ask him, Jesus, in your name, help me do this? Help me not to struggle with self-control. Help me not to struggle with perseverance, not to struggle with brotherly kindness and love and all of these things that you said to add. When I start adding them, I'm going to find out there's such a blessing. And the next thing I add, it's a greater blessing. The next thing I add, it's a greater blessing. And I'm going to find my place. And I'm not going to be stumbling there. I'm not going to be falling. And I'm not going to be wondering if I'm even secure in your salvation. I am. But you're giving me an advantage, Lord. And I'm going to take it in Jesus' name. And all who are willing said, amen. 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 God bless you.